Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This episode is brought to you by the new book, Round Here and Over Yonder, written by authors Trey Crowder and Corey Ryan Forrester. That's your boy. The book is out now. I would like to thank everyone who did the pre-order, but for those of you who were like, you know what, I want to wait and actually go to a bookstore and pick this thing up, well, you can do that right now. Round Here and Over Yonder, a front porch travel guide written by two progressive hillbillies. Parenthetical, yes, that's a thing. We love long titles, but we love making you laugh even more. This book is chocked full of jokes. We chock filled it too. It's got a bunch of jokes in it. It's really, really, really fun. We tried to take the stereotypes of certain regions, talk about what they are, talk about what they got right, talk about what the actual reality is. Of course, we did it with our own little region here in the South. We went everywhere else in the United States, and for the first time in our lives, we went to the UK. It's Rednecks Abroad. The book is Round Here and Over Yonder. Not to brag on us, but I will. It is hilarious. Pick it up now wherever you get books. And by the way, we narrated the audio version, if that's how you want to digest it. But there is no wrong way. Round Here and Over Yonder, wherever you get your books. Do it at an indie bookstore. I like that more. Don't tell Amazon, though. Bye.
Well, here we are. Our heads are back in the virtual Airstream studios. Chubb's laughing because BPP was regaling us with tales of ugly gas station women. before we started.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. How you doing over there?
First off, man, this is like the longest I've gone without talking to you on the internet in a while because I missed Well Read and me and Kirby did POA last week. She crushed, by the way, filling in for you. Might have to replace you full time.
Yeah, I mean, I knew she would. Did you put Well Read up yet? I know it's inside, but okay, cool. Yeah. I need to go. Because W. Earl Brown, our buddy, was on her this week. I thought I'd try to make some clips of him or something. What are we going to be talking about today? What are you going to be talking about?
Well, I got a couple things. One, I don't know if I'm going to get to my big topic because I've got all these other small topics, but I do plan at least a little bit to talk about Alan Turing, at least the machine and the mechanisms or whatever. And really, I would like to, if you've seen the movie, I would like to point out couple things that are bullshit. I also have a couple up top. We had mentioned that we were gonna figure out what people used to play for rock paper scissors back in the medieval times. I have a couple of those for you. But before we get on any of that, Trey, this is very topical. We don't always do a lot of topical here. Speaking of topical, so I'm not gonna talk about this, but I'm considering it for next week. So I picked up this is a tabloid mag. Divorce rumors explode for Harry and Meghan. Apparently the ring is off, right? And I was thinking, how fun do you think it would be if we had a segment where I bought all the British tabloids and we talked about them and I wore like a fancy ruffled jacket and we called it the Fashionable Inquirer, huh?
Inquirer?
Yeah. Huh? Ain't that something?
Yeah. Usually, though, you can get British tabloids over here. You talking about American tabloids? Well, we just also talk about British stuff because their tabloids are different, right? I think they show titties and stuff in their tabloids.
What?
I think.
Can I order them? You bet.
I don't know. I don't know if you can or not. That's what I was asking. That's why I was wondering if you, because you said British tabloids. I was like, how are you getting hold of those? Because I think and I know this is wild. If you're familiar with our tabloids, this is a wild thing to say, but I'm pretty sure that they're like way harsher and crueler and shit over there. I think their tabloids get gnarly.
I'm into
and
that
also I think that they show I think they got like there's a Page Six girl or something, which is just a girl with her titties out, just because tabloids are like, people like titties and gossip.
Yeah,
here's a dollop of both for you lads. Well, isn't that chuffy? That's not how they use chuffy. That's not how they say that. I got some chuffy mean? Words for us today. Well, chuffy is not. So there's chuffed. When you're chuffed, you
know, that's pissed, right?
No, it's the opposite. I'm chuffed to bits over that.
Oh, it's, okay.
Tickled. Quite lovely. Tickled pink, yeah. Chuffed to bits. On the other end of that spectrum would be gutted. Like you're chuffed if something's good, you're gutted if it's bad. I'm going to be talking about British words and shit a little bit later. So maybe that's why chuffy was on my mind. But yeah, the way they talk does hit. But anyway, so they getting divorced.
I guess. I mean, again, I don't know. No. I don't know how to believe this because right. So look here. Hold on just a second. Right behind this magazine, I also picked up another. And this is the fun thing about reading tabloids and stuff a week after they were printed, because they make all these wild predictions and then you get to like go back and go, well, none of that happened. Because this other one, government braces for bloodbath on the 22nd anniversary of 9/11. So apparently there was supposed to be a new 9/11. And I picked this up the other day and I was like, no, there wasn't.
No. And also like, they got a picture of Osama bin Laden there, and it's like, I don't think it's going to be his ass doing it. I don't know why you're giving him any shine since he's long since dead and on the bottom of the ocean. Shout out my boy Barry O and the Navy SEALs.
I bet you, though, that the type of people who believe this shit probably don't think he's dead. You know what I mean? They probably think that Obama faked that. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, you're probably right. Yeah. They probably do think that.
Y'all remember all those life insurance ads on the radio when you were a kid? You might not, but I certainly do, because I remember being like, what? What's insurance? That was stuff that, you know, it was for my parents to care about. I just kind of turned my ears off. Well, guess what? Now you/me, we is the parent, and it's time to get life insurance to help protect your family. Fabric by Gerber Life makes it quick and easy to get a high-quality policy so that your family is covered if the unexpected happens. Trey, tell them about our friends over at Fabric Gerber Life, baby.
Fabric was designed by parents for parents to help you get a high quality, surprisingly affordable term life insurance policy in less than 10 minutes. Fabric has flexible policies that fit your family and your budget with quality policies like $1 million in coverage for less than $1 a day. You can get your personalized quote in just minutes and then apply when it's convenient for you. It's all online and to your schedule. You could go from start to covered in less than 10 minutes with no health exam required. You're not sure if life insurance is right for you? We'll take Fabric's quick 60-second quiz to find out. There's no risk in applying. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee. You can cancel at any time. Fabric has partnered with Gerber Life, trusted by millions of families like yours for over 50 years. And with over 1,700 five-star reviews, they're rated as excellent on Trustpilot. And Fabric has more than just life insurance. Their easy digital platform also lets you create wills, access college saving funds, and manage your family's finances right from your phone. So your family is prepared for anything. So join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to protect their family. Apply today in just minutes at meetfabric.com/POA. That's M-E-E-T fabric.com/POA. Meetfabric.com/POA. Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company. Not available in certain states. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions.
And before I get into the question that I want to ask you, because it is topical, I did want to give a shout out to Airhead George Schnitzer, who sent us, Trey, a vinegar Valentine. Look at that.
That he made himself?
No, he found it.
It's an authentic old one. Okay.
Yeah.
Read that to me.
Let's see. Wolf, you think you make the gals all swoon, and maybe you are right. They swoon at just the sight of you because you're such a fright. Ugly fuck.
Ugly motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly. It's I thought that was very neat.
The gas station, APPP.
The question wait.
No. Because that was given to us by a fan, I also have one of those. And I got to say, like, before I show this, this person came to my show at Cleveland at Hilarities. Love that club. It was a good show. It's a good time. Cleveland's a fun town. I will say, though, by the end of the meet and greet, and she was at nearly the very end, little drunk, me. She was very drunk, ma'am. You're very sweet, but clearly very drunk. Anyway, I would like to apologize to you. that I do not remember your name. This has become a real tough thing for me lately, because I used to like pride myself on like I never forgot anybody's name. You know, right. I didn't forget much of anything. And as I've gotten older and I've started meeting way more people,
COVID too,
I have no like training in remembering. You know what I mean? Like I was always so very good at it. I never had to worry. I just did. I just always remembered everybody's name. So like now that I can't do that anymore. I don't have like some people have like techniques they use, mnemonic devices or things that they do to remember people's names. I've never developed any of that because I didn't need it. And now I just can't remember nobody's name. Can't remember nobody's name for shit. So I don't remember her name, which I apologize, but she had this made and brought it to me. If y'all are only listening, it's a Black Lives Matter flag. It looks exactly like a Black Lives Matter flag, but black is replaced with squirrel. It says Squirrel Lives Matter. So she's showing me what side of the debate she lands on. Told her I'm going to throw this right in the trash. I mean, I'm not. I guess Corey can have it, whatever. Obviously, they don't matter at all. You see how many of them? You see dead on the fucking side of the road. You know, nobody's losing any sleep over dead squirrels. So obviously, their lives do not matter. Miss.
I'm certain that people are popping off in the comments about the inappropriateness of that flag, but it hits for me.
That is funny. Yeah, I co-opted that flag for
a
squirrel joke. Yeah. But I don't know. It's funny to me. It hit for me. I was gonna say something about the I meant to send you a screenshot, but I didn't. So one of my recent videos was about Lauren Boebert. And that one jacked that dude off. Yeah. And that one did pretty good. It got like passed around. It did some pretty good numbers. It made it to the top of the TikTok subreddit, you know, which is a pretty big subreddit. Like it got some traction on Reddit. So, and I don't normally ever do this, but I'm on Reddit all the time anyway. So like a couple of times that like I'm just on Reddit and then I see myself pop it's up crazy. On Reddit. Yeah, and that's what happened this time. And so I clicked the comments, which, again, I normally don't do, but because it's Reddit or whatever, I was like, we'll see what this says. And some of the top, you know, the top comments were like, whatever, you know, this dude hits for me. I like his accent. And somebody else is like, yeah, that's Trey Crowder. He's a comedian and whatnot. And then, you know, they continue the conversation. It's like, he hosts some great podcasts. He's got this one putting on airs. It's fancy people shit. Yada, yada. And then another person like that is like, oh, you airhead too? And they were like, nice. Yeah. And then they were like, they're like, where do you stand on the great squirrel debate? And they were like, you know, I go back and forth on it. I can't decide. But anyway, like, it was just wild to be like on Reddit and see people in the comments just talking about the lore of this show or this show coming up and stuff. So that was
seeing it out in the wild is different than when you're seeking it out. You know, it's
like,
nuts.
I remember one time I was on like the television subreddit or something. Somehow our buddy Andrew's podcast, Dead Pilot Society, came up on Reddit. And that show's been going for years. They have hundreds of episodes. And someone brought it up and were like, I like this show. And someone else was like, do you have a recommendation for where we could start or whatever? And this random internet person was like, they have this one called Middle of Somewhere that I thought was really good, which that's ours. That's our that's our old ABC pilot that we did on that show. And
you
so,
know why?
Because
it was
like
a good fucking pilot.
Yeah, it did hit. But yeah, that being the one that people pin out, they're like, I suggest you start with this one because this one really hit for me.
It would be funny if like that person's the way that they enjoy that show is listening to, and going, I can see why this one didn't get made. And that's
that
like,
would be funny, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, this is the worst one. You should start with this one. Oh, God damn.
That would be funny and raven. Anyway, so what's your question for me?
So this is topical, Trey. I don't know if you saw this, but it was all over the internet last night and this morning. But there was a family of Scotsmen, Scots people, or Scots woman too, just a family of Scots. And they were out for a hike. And I guess somebody was filming it or whatever. They were taking pictures. And they just happened to run across King Charles, because he's over there, I assume, vacationing at Balmoral, you know, like he does. And so the way that these news people are presenting this is like this Scottish family got the thrill of their life. You know, they got to see the king. And so I'm sitting there reading that, you know, having been over there and knowing how a lot of them actually feel. And so I would like to put you on the spot for a second and ask you, how do you think the Scottish papaw was acting to his family right after the king got out of an earshot?
He's not Bonnie Prince Charlie, I'll tell you that. He may call him Charles, but he's not my Charlie. That's, you know, because I don't know if you know this, but Bonnie Prince Charlie, I think, was a Scottish prince that actually hit for them. Right. Bonnie Prince Charlie. That's their guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. They call him Charles all he want, but his name ain't Charlie. And he never will be either. Not a bunny lad, that guy. No, it's a Kent face. So a Kent face in the Highlands today. I think Kent, K-E-N-T, Kent. It's a face you recognize. I just learned that earlier today.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, in the pub.
So that's familiar?
A Kent face out in the Highlands today. And then like, and he was at, and it's like, that fucker Charles from down south. Doesn't know what he's doing up here. Yeah, you know what that, if you're on a hike in Scotland, I believe, Corey, if you're on a hike in Scotland,
moors.
You're hiking up a, do you remember what it's called?
It was a moor, or it starts with an M, right?
It does, and it's not moors, though. They have moors up there, but that's not what this is.
Because I know our fucking driver, our racist, in a funny way, driver, was talking about climbing all these fucking things. It was a
Monroe.
Monroe, that's it.
Hey, we know that because our lovely and quite racist Scottish driver was a big fan of Monroe's. He had done like, there's like 200 Monroe's in Scotland, and he'd done like 149 of them or something like that. It was his bucket list. And like a Monroe, the Scottish Highlands, you know, rolling hills, it's like the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains or whatever. The Monroe's are just like, that's just those hills. That's what they call them. Yeah, this dude, it was a classic like papaw moment type of thing where it's like, he's this older feller, white, you know, Scotland, super fucking white, like so white, everybody white.
Yeah.
And he old, right? And he was talking to, you know, is this your first time in Scotland? And we told him, yeah. And then we're like, have you been to America? And he was like, hey, I had a, you know, got a cousin in New York, and I took a trip to Las Vegas once time. And then I also went to Detroit for a while. And you know, and we're like, Detroit? Why'd you go to Detroit? And he's like, hey, that's a good question. I you know, that's it. And I tell you, that's the only time in my life and all my travels that I ever felt like I might be in danger. You know, that's what he said. And it's like, it is Detroit. We're like, oh, you mean what happened? And then the story was just, he was on a bus and there were black people on it.
That was
the whole story. Because
like, I was very much like, about to give him, I was very much about to give him the benefit of a doubt, because like, he didn't say that about New York or Vegas. And it's like, listen, I love Detroit, but say what you will, they do have that reputation. You know what I mean? But yeah,
they do.
It turns out it was just a bus full of black people.
Anytime I think about Detroit and that reputation, I think about this time. And I know I've told you this before, but like, you ever like, so you ever have someone ask you, tell us a joke? They find out you do comedy or whatever, and you tell us a joke. And then like, you ever do that? And then the joke don't hit for them at all?
Yeah.
Like, have you ever done that?
I mean, I've stopped doing it because of that. I usually just go, like, I usually go, hey, listen, I'm more of a storyteller. You know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't really get it. I kind of tell stories. But, yes, I've done that, and it didn't hit.
Well, I either do what you just said. I tell them, like, I don't mean a bit of mine. I don't ever do that. Like, I don't ever... They find I'm a comedian, like, oh, tell us a joke. I never go into one of my bits, ever. I either tell them, like you said, like, no.
Street joke.
Don't, yeah, that don't hit. Or if they're drunk and I just want to, you know, whatever, just get through it, I'll just pick a street joke and tell them a street joke, right? But I'm saying, you ever done that with one of those and have it just bomb horrifically? Because that happened to me, and it's relevant to this story. Because, like, I'm just do a shortened version of the joke, but it was like, drunk ass motherfucker. I remember it was in a bar called the Dirty South in Raleigh, North Carolina. This is pre-hit. I went to Charlie Goodnight's to do a comedy contest they were having, and me and Bryce went to this bar afterwards. Remember all of this vividly, and I know the reason I remember it is because of this experience, I think. So, like, this dude was drunk at the bar. What are you doing in town? I told him, hey, I did a stand-up comedy contest, whatever. Oh, you're a comedian? Tell me a fucking joke, man, whatever. And I was like, okay, so... And this one just came to mind. I was like, so, you know, the general manager for the Detroit Lions is watching news footage, right, of the war in Iraq. Y'all, I mean, this is 10, 11 years ago, y'all. Like, we're still in Iraq and Afghanistan or whatever. And they showed this footage of this insurgent feller running through the streets of Baghdad, just like hurling fucking grenades left and right and diving over cars and all this stuff. And the Detroit Lions give him a tryout, and he ends up being like their quarterback, right? And again, I'm very much abbreviating this whole joke. He runs this whole thing, and like, he wins the Super Bowl in Detroit, right? And they ask him afterwards, like, what it's like. He said, oh, it's been a magical experience. But, you know, I was talking to my mom on the phone, and she was like, we're very happy for your success, but you got to understand, like, bullets are flying through the windows, like the streets are on fire, the buildings are crumbling around us, all this stuff. And like, I know you're doing well, but I will never forgive you for bringing us to Detroit, right? Like, and this dude, I mean, just gave me nothing.
Do you think didn't get it?
I don't know if he didn't get it or if he was like super he's too drunk. Liberal or something. Nah. You know what I mean? I mean, I was in Raleigh and it didn't seem, but you know what I mean? It was like, yeah, oh, that's not cool or something. I don't know if it was that or he just didn't get it, but he just like, he gave me nothing. Just like, just literally just stared at me and didn't respond at all. And I was like, all right, well, that was it. So
yeah, yeah.
Bye.
Dude, I'm glad that you brought up street jokes because I just remembered one and it kind of has to do with Scotland a little bit. I just heard it yesterday. What did the octopus say to the bagpipes?
What?
I'd fuck you if you'd take them pajamas off.
That's great.
That's fucking awesome.
That's a good one because it sounds like a third grade joke or something. Yeah, like yeah, it sounds yeah, like a little kid joke and then pivot hard into filling all them holes.
My buddy Bubba called me yesterday and I was like, hey, he goes, hey, do you have a second? And I was like, yeah. Yeah, what's up? And he goes, and he told me that joke and then goes, all right, bye. And then just hung up, but acted like it was that's so funny to me.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, Walmart, Nike, Wine.com, Samsung, Lenovo, Sephora, and more. And even stack sales on top of cashback. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Yeah, that does hit. So speaking of Scotland and them over there and how they talk and things of that nature, I found a fun list randomly that I thought would hit for you and the people of this show of the, you know, Airhead Nation.
Okay.
These are all really old words that are like legit, like they're legit old words or phrases or whatever.
Like O-L-D-E words?
Yeah, like these are ye old ass words, yeah. You know, but like they're real. They're real words. But they sound funny, right? So, and I'm going to let you, I want you to guess like what you think they are or whatever.
Okay.
So the first one is butt shaft.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Butt shaft. All right. Mm-hmm. Can you use it in a sentence?
Let's see here. Cupid's butt shaft is too hard for Hercules's club. That's a sentence it gives, but I don't like that choice because I don't feel like it gives you. How about this? Katniss had no use for a butt shaft.
oh, what was it that Katniss didn't have use for in the, a gun or a weapon?
It is a weapon of sorts, but why would
an arrow?
She not?
Arrow,
but why would she not want this type of arrow?
Because it was broken?
It's blunt or barbless arrow is a butt shaft.
Okay, a butt shaft.
A blunt or barbless arrow. Butt shaft. All right, got another one for you. Cover slut.
That's my wife. I can tell you right now. I can't tell you how many nights I've woken up chilled to the bone, freezing with icicles hanging out of my nose because she just keeps stealing them in the middle of the night.
Katie is an absolute cover slut now that you mention it. I didn't even say, because like she put so many goddamn blankets on our bed, like I have to throw them off of, like I take them off of my side and double them up on her side and she still gets cold somehow.
Yeah, it's Amber's not even slut. A cold thing because, like,
it is for Katie.
I like blankets more than Amber does. Like, I actually have a weighted blanket and all this stuff. It's just that Amber, she sleeps the way that her style of sleep, as she claims, is she calls it I starfish. So she starfishes, you know, out, and then she twists in the night. And every time she rolls back over, a little piece of cover will get under her butt, and it'll take it like a couple inches, but if you do that 15 to 20 times in a night, it's going to be 3 feet off, and next thing you know, my dick's hanging out. Cover slut.
Yeah, so...
I got no idea.
Yeah, it was in the 1600s, a cover slut was a type of apron that women wore out while gardening or cooking to conceal the signs of their dirty work. You know,
to cover... Like,
because slut back then apparently did not have the pejorative or sexually explicit meaning it has today. It meant back then it meant untidiness or like slovenly appearance. Okay. So this apron covered your slut, which was the dirt on your, you know, peasant clothes or whatever. So you got to cover all that slut up. Just eat up with slut. Yeah,
by the way, do you see my tooth got fixed? You know, I had that bad tooth.
Yeah, I know. It's very, very exciting.
I can smile
Only
now.
Only took Look 6 hours, too. How about that? Record-breaking time. 6 hours it took.
Yeah, it did. It sure did. It's rough stuff.
All right, next up. You ready? Ready for this one? Dick pot.
Okay. Well, so, like... You know, the first thing that comes to my mind is like it's a portable toilet, you know, but I know that's not it because they wouldn't have used dick in that way, probably. A dick pot, knowing them, that's a bundt cake.
Right. Yeah. They do have spotted dick, very popular dessert over there. But a dick pot is a word from the 1700s referring to earthenware pots that people filled with hot embers or coals, to put them like under their petticoats or by their feet or whatever to keep your feet warm. It says little old ladies had their dick pots under their petticoats to keep their tootsies warm while they were knitting and shit in the cold of winter. So it's a pot filled with coals.
How many times do you think they just went up in flames?
Oh, dude, so often. You know, everything was burning down and everybody was dying all the time back then, like fucking... It is kind of wild, actually, when you think about it, considering they just, like, put coals in their bed and under their fucking dresses and stuff. It is kind of wild that they didn't burn down more. Like, also, how did they blame that cow for it? You remember, like, the great London Fire, right? Well, yeah. I always kind of wondered that. Like, it's the Great London Fire, right? They say it was started, a cow, like, kicked a bucket of coals over.
Yeah,
and I've always sort of been like, how the hell did they know that's what it was? But now I'm doubly wondering how they knew that, considering a little old ladies was walking around with their own personal fucking fire starting kits, like, everywhere.
Let me tell you.
And Bessie gets blamed? I don't know.
The reason that Bessie gets blamed is because that's what the dude who actually started the fire said what happened. You know what I mean? There was a dude who was, like, trying to warm his fucking feet up. He caught everything on fire, and he's like, I seen a fucking cow kick a, like, they didn't have forensics and shit back then.
I know,
like,
that's
how the
what
fuck
I'm saying.
Did they know? Yeah.
Yeah, so, looks old butt. Yeah. I don't know. Sure is burnt bad. Any signs of what might have done it? There's a bunch up cow over there. Yeah. Could have been I don't know.
All right. It was
all black. This is black. That's black. Whole place is black. Doesn't look good.
Worst case of being burnt I've ever seen.
Yeah. All burnt up, isn't it? All right. This next one here, which I'm going to wait a second to tell you. This next one is Dream Hole.
Dream Hole. Okay.
Dream Hole.
Dream Hole. All right. So I'm going to assume that it has something to do with the bed. I have to assume that. A dream hole. So it's a cupboard on the end of your bed that you put your head so that you don't have to see the outside. I don't fucking know.
Now, I feel like I've seen these, and I always thought they were for a completely different reason. But according to this, it says dream holes were slender openings cut into medieval watchtowers, enabling the guards to look out at and have some sunshine and fresh air in the watchtower. Now, I've seen those. I've seen the little, like, slits and, like, watchtowers and shit on castles and stuff. You know what I mean? And I thought those were for arrow shooting. Like, I thought they had a whole different name. I can't remember what I thought the name was, but that, like, I thought that you aim a bow out of that, and it's real slender.
Yeah, so people can't
hit you as easily through it. I didn't know it was so you could, like, catch a fresh breeze. They didn't give a fuck about peasants getting breezes
that's
back
then.
That's
what I was going to say.
Sunshine. Like, it's like they don't sunshine down. It's like, no, keep the stank in, you know.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, you rarely hear of something from back then that was made to make someone's life better. Unless they were a king.
Right, exactly. So it's weird. This one, this one's hard for me to believe, but I don't know. I guess it's true. I'm taking all these at face value. This is all on dictionary.com, by the way. They know about words, don't they?
They do. You should.
Seems like a reputable source. So the next one is fuck sheet. Now, I will tell you, it's spelled F-U-K. Sheet.
Okay.
There's no C in it. So maybe it's fuk sheet. I don't know. But F-U-K sheet.
The fuk sheet was a blanket that they used to shoo away demons in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Mormons still use those, don't they? They got their fuk sheets, don't they? Or is that Jews?
The big time Jews. Like the
hardcore Jews. They like got the a fuk sheet, Jews. Don't they?
Yeah, they fuck a lady through a hole in a sheet.
Yeah, they got a fuck sheet. But Mormons got fuck undies, don't they? Is it that you're not their underwear that keeps you from fucking? They got some kind of special underwear,
chastity
right?
Chastity underwear. Yeah, and also, so the Mormons, they got a couple loopholes. The most famous one is the poop
soaking.
Hole loophole. Soaking. Yeah, where
soaking. They do
I think
that.
We talked about it on this show, but it goes further than just soaking, which of course is to stick your wiener in and just let it soak. They also they do that, and then they have a buddy jump on the bed. So that you're fucking, but you're not
doing it.
So God is confused.
So does that mean your buddy's going to hell?
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
Because that's a big ask from a homie.
Third degree pussy. That's wild.
But yeah. First degree burns from the devil's dick, though, when you get to hell. Don't seem worth it to me. Soaking. Yeah, I know that's what they call it. In my day in Salina, soaked it. If you soaked it, that meant you didn't pull out in time.
Yeah,
right. Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. But without a condom on. You were in there without a condom on and you left it a little too long.
Yeah.
I soaked it on accident or whatever.
Yeah. And then 9 months later, I can't go to high school no more.
Yeah. So the fuck sheet was a sail. It was the sail that was located on the fuck mast. And both of the fuck mechanisms were located at the front of the ship. So a certain type of ship in the Middle English days had a fuck mast on it. And the sheet that was the sail that was on the fuck mast was the fuck sheet.
Okay. Well, makes sense.
Sure. scar penis.
Jesus Christ. Like they're all dick stuff. Did penis mean what it meant back then?
I reckon. Let's see here.
Scar penis. That's okay. Etymology of words. Scar, scarp, scrap, scar penis. That was a scar penis was it someone who was really scarpy. They exuded scarpiness, you know, or Does it mean shrapnel?
So, and I don't know that I'm pronouncing this word right either, but there was a French word at the time. This is from the 1800s. There was a French word at the time, escarpigné. I think escarpigné, it looks like escarpines, but yeah, I know that's not how you say it.
Yeah, escarpigné.
Escarpigné, which was a type of slipper that was popular at the time. And the Scottish, as they are wont to do, they butchered that French word, and they called them scarpinus. Yeah. They saw the French word and said, "I like scarpinus. That's a nice pair of scarpinus."
So
you
it's
got
a slipper?
There, Jay, I'm reading this direct. It's from a Scottish poem, and I'm reading it here. "There, Jay, scarpinus, bathe, chime, and meet, their mollus glittering on their feet."
Was so, some of that in Gaelic, beautiful. Or I just didn't understand you?
Yeah, no, it is in Gaelic. I'm doing my best with it. That's
No. You did really good. I was just going like, oh, maybe I'm just not, my ears don't hit.
It translates to "their dry slippers, both trim and neat, their mules," which is another word for shoe back then, "glitter on their feet." So, yeah.
Why couldn't people just speak fucking English? You know what I mean? Just call them mittens. It's real easy. Or slippers. I guess it's not easy.
Here's another one for you.
Okay.
Slut hole.
Okay. All right. Going back to slut meant your dirty, unorganized, shameful body. Yep. So slut hole, that's where you threw your wife.
yeah. I mean,
get in a slut hole.
Yeah. I mean, you're not far off, because slut, again, slut back then meant untidiness or, you know, dirty mess. So the slut hole was a Victorian slang term for the trash can or the bin. The bin, yeah.
I should have. Keep
it in the slut hole.
Yeah. Well, damn, we need to bring these motherfuckers back.
I know. I agree. Yeah. A lot of bones in that slut hole.
This slut hole smells funny.
Yeah. Okay, let's see here. To hear a dick. Yeah.
Okay. Earlier you mentioned dick, and that was, it wasn't a pudding. It was that the arrow?
Lord. Sorry, I just read what it actually means. Okay. It says, it's just, this one just feels like a real, I don't know. You're never going to get there in a million years,
tell
I don't
me.
Think. So I'm going to read the whole thing. British
Theradic, by the way, sounds like a medicine for like an STD, like Theraflu.
Yeah.
But you get some Theradic. Right.
Get some Theradic. Nice hot cup of Theradic. It's like, you know, Theraflu was like, it's like hot tea type shit, right?
Yeah.
It's like that, but you just like dip your dick into it. Yeah, exactly. Like, if that, imagine commercials for that, like on during Jeopardy and shit when we were growing up. Theradic. Yeah. It's got just like a papaw just like hovering over like your dick and or balls
just like hanging in the cup of tea.
Tea bagging. Yeah. Fucking yeah. Medicated tea to swim your wiener in. That'd be wild. Anyway, so it says, British sheep farmers once used unique counting systems to keep track of their herds. The numbers varied depending on the rural area and the dialect spoken there. In the Lake District of Northwest England, home to William Wordsworth, tether meant three and dick was 10. Add them together to tether a dick. I guess it's tether a dick. It looks like tether a dick, but I guess it's tether a dick. Add them together. Tether a dick was the word for 13. So,
damn it, you froze up.
As you will. Did you hear me when I said the answer was? I know we froze up there for a second.
You froze 13. Up right at 13. That's all I heard. It was
13. That's it. It was just their word for 13 in that weird part of England.
Dude, you froze right at 13 and you were like, and I was like, 13 what, motherfucker?
Yeah.
13. Well, that's crazy.
You're going to like this one, I think. Titty nope.
Titty nope. I say titty nope. Yep.
Yeah, me too. I always said titty, titty yep. Yeah.
I don't care what titties is. It's titty yep.
Yeah. Okay, titty. In the titty camp, but no, yeah,
titty
nope.
Okay, so obviously the what's the etymology of titty back then, and also nope.
Well, if I like, tell you, I mean, you know, if I tell you, you'll get it. Yeah.
I'm just trying to, like, because I know titty didn't mean titty. Titty back it then was like
tittle. Titty like, came from tittle.
Being a little titty, like you were being a tit, you know. Titty well, nope. So, is it a whip to hit your kids with?
No, titty nope just means a small quantity of, like a titty nope of pie or a titty nope of beer.
I'm glad you went to pie first.
Yeah, titty nope of cake.
So if you got little titties.
And I get, you got a titty nope of titties, yeah, I guess so.
Don't hit.
Might I trouble you for a titty nope of pussy? sorry.
Just a smidge.
Yeah. 300 years ago, tittle meant tiny.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Titty nope.
Titty nope.
Ass art.
Ass art?
Ass art.
Nicki Minaj. Ass art. Ass art. Okay. 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 Does it have something to do with donkeys?
I kind of. Yeah.
Okay. Because they're asses, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Ass art. Okay. So, it's some sort of field tool.
You're pretty close, but it's not a field tool. It's the field itself, a field that is deforested and primed for farming.
Okay.
For example, over yonder hill lies my ass art. You can also use it as a verb. The farmer ass arted his land before before planting.
That sounds like pig Latin, ass arted. I love that.
Yeah, and that's it. That's the last one there. But them was fun.
Those were fun.
So I'll tell you how I found that. I guess I'll give them credit. Katie got into this show, and the boys like it too. I love the people in it. It's just kind of not super my thing, but it does hit. It's called, and she's going to hear this episode, and she's going to be like, I thought it did hit for you. Anyway, the show Murderville, you know that show? You've seen that?
It's what's his face?
Will Arnett.
Will Arnett. Yeah. I watched the first episode. I liked it, but I'm not like – I like the story where people know what it is.
I'm with you.
Like,
I'm the same way. It's because we're stand-ups or something. It's just like improv. I like respect improv.
Me too.
I know it's hard. I know it's hard as hell. But I just don't. I'm just not super into
me
it,
either.
Really.
And
it's a cool show, though. The conceit of it is
Will Arnett's more talented than we'll ever be.
They got a murder mystery to solve.
Like,
he has a special guest star every week,
and
that guest star has no lines, no script, no
fun,
nothing.
But
he just improvs the whole entire thing. And so I watched Conan O'Brien and Marshawn Lynch. Marshawn Lynch was great. He's great in everything. He's so funny.
Of course.
But they're like whispering to each other at one point, and the guy playing the suspects across the table from him, and the dude's like, you know I can hear every word you're saying, right? And Marshawn immediately goes, well, act like you can't, motherfucker. it really hit for me. But anyway, in one of those episodes, Will Arnett says the code word is titty nope, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's the Conan episode. And Conan's like, titty nope? And he's like, that's a real word. It's totally a real word, whatever. And, you know,
good
and
Arnett.
That's pretty much the end of it. But, like, it is a real word. And
right.
So then when I Googled it and found out it was a real word, that led me to that list of other words from the similar era, which I thought would hit for this show. And I feel like it did hit. So anyway, on to you, buddy. I pass it off to you now.
Well, thank you. Before I get into the couple things that I have, I actually surprisingly had a separate list that I was going to do next week, but I wanted to mention a couple of them. These are British places and these are actual names. This is a place in Hampshire called Nether Wallop, which I thought was fun.
Mm-hmm.
There's this place in Leicestershire called, this is a town name, Barton in the Beans.
Barton right in the beans. Right in the beans.
Barton right in the beans.
Barton right up the bean hole. Yeah. Is that, but Barton, that's like a name. It's like, who's in the beans? Barton's in the beans. And then they were like, now and forevermore shall this village be named.
The one that made me think of it was that in North Hampshire, there's one called Titty Ho. And this is my favorite one. In East Riding of Yorkshire, Wet Wang. Hey,
Wet
ladies
Wang.
And gentlemen, Wet Wang. All right.
I can't hear Wang as anything other than like, you know.
A wiener.
Asian. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I just meant,
or
like,
a wiener.
In terms of like Wet Wang.
That's China.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Or a penis. Or an American penis.
Yeah. Titty ho, though, that sounds super British if you just like, you know, if you remove the American interpretation of like titty and ho.
Yeah.
If you say like, you know, titty ho, you know, titty-ho. Like tally ho. They love saying tally ho, you know.
They love
it. They love that shit. Well, titty ho's not that different, especially now that we know that titty used to mean little. So I guess that means like a little hello.
Yeah.
Not like, is that what ho meant? Tally ho. What's tally ho meant for? Forth, tally, didn't it? Like,
onward,
go forth,
onward.
Yeah. Tally ho. Tally ho. Titty ho is like little bit onward.
Yeah.
Just a little further. I don't know. Anyway.
I'm really, by the way, guys, I'm sure that y'all have noticed at least a couple times, we're having a shit internet day, and I really hope.
Yeah, we are. We keep getting frozen. You guys shouldn't see us as frozen, but you probably will see one or both of us staring blankly at certain points.
Yes, and that's what that is.
When that happens, that means that we froze up on each other.
Yeah, so. And it's usually fine, because me and Trey especially is a really good pro. He knows if he sees me frozen up, he should just continue talking, and I do the same. But this one... I need you to fucking hear all these things. So here's some of my pitches for medieval rock, paper, scissors. You with me?
Yeah. As soon as you said, are you with me? And I said, yeah, you froze immediately.
Okay. All right,
we froze again.
Here we go. Horse, torch, blanket. All right. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Torch lights the blanket on fire. Horse runs away from torch. Blanket gives horse smallpox.
Horse runs away from torch. That's funny to me for some reason.
Yeah.
Horse does run away from torch. You're right.
And blanket gives horse smallpox. Okay. Here's another one. Bag of gold coins. Executioner. Wheelbarrow full of shit. The bag of gold coins pays the executioner off. The executioner dumps the wheelbarrow filled with shit over, and the wheelbarrow full of shit covers up the bag of gold coins.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That works. I love that. You remember that Louis bit about the bag of gold coins from back then? That's like, you just threw them through a bag of an indeterminate
money.
Amount of coins at them or whatever. Yeah, like, because it's always how it's, I believe this will cover it.
And they never,
it's always like just a sack of coins, and they're like, yep, this will buy a lot of geese. It will.
Finally here, alligator in moat, drawbridge, rapey 17-year-old prince. The alligator in the moat eats the rapey prince. The drawbridge boinks the alligator on the head, and the rapey prince burns the drawbridge to the ground and laughs maniacally.
Yeah. Why did he have to be rapey?
He just was.
Okay, that's like, because he didn't. I thought he was going to, you know, rape something at some point in that equation, but
no,
he just like.
I just wanted you to know who we're dealing with here.
Yeah, just a little. He
should have raped the alligator. I did miss an opportunity.
Yeah, what's that old joke about the. It's like a redneck in a bar, right? And he's like, we got a challenge down here in this bar, son. We got a challenge. Here's what it is. You got to take a shot, go out back and pull that alligator's tooth, and then go upstairs and fuck my fucking sister
who
weighs 400 pounds. My ugly ass sister weighs 400 pounds or something like that in the butt or whatever. And the guy's like, give it to me. I'll do it right now. And he fucking takes a shot, goes out back. I hear all this fucking caterwauling and hollering and all this wild ruckus and shit. He comes stumbling back in. He goes, what's this
about,
fat
alligator?
Bitch with a loose tooth? Boy, I tell you what, I am full as a tick. I just got done eating a super hitting factor meal. And I'm not just saying that. It was a shredded chicken taco ball. Magnificent. Maybe y'all are looking to get full too. Well, with the busy fall season already in spring, you might be looking for some wholesome, convenient meals for jam-packed days, right? Well, Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, can help you fuel up fast with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and stay on track with your healthy lifestyle. If you're too busy this fall to cook, but you want to make sure you're eating good, with Factor, skip the extra time to the extra trip to the grocery store and the chopping, prepping, and cleaning up too, while still getting the flavor and nutritional quality you need.
Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes. All you have to do is heat and enjoy, and then get back to crushing your own goals. Adjust your stride this autumn without missing a step. Choose from 34 and up weekly flavor packed, fresh, never frozen meals ready to eat in 2 minutes. You can level up with their gourmet plus options, prepared to perfection by chefs and ready to eat in record time. Upscale meals, premium ingredients, stuff like broccolini, leeks, truffle butter, asparagus, fancy stuff. Perfect for this here podcast. If you're too busy running around during the day to think about lunch, that's my thing with Factor. You keep your energy up with lunch to go. Effortless wholesome meals like grain bowls and salad toppers ready to eat whenever you're ready. No microwave required. If you're being calorie conscious right now, well, they have delicious dietitian approved calorie smart meals with around or less than 550 calories per serving. Cho, you tell them about the rest.
I love it, man. Like Trey said, it being quick. If you need an extra boost to support your wellness goals, which y'all know I have, I stay having wellness goals. You want to feel your best and, you know, be able to tackle a busy autumn. Well, dude, try the Protein Plus meals with 30 grams of protein or more per serving. Round out your meal and replenish your snack supply with an assortment of 45 add-ons, baby, including breakfast items like delicious apple cinnamon pancakes, bacon and cheddar egg bites. I believe those are the sous vide bites, and I also believe that's very fancy. Sous vide definitely fits the show. Super fancy stuff. Potato, bacon, egg breakfast skillet. Who doesn't like that? Or for an easy wellness boost, you can get like cold-pressed juices, shakes, and smoothies. And with Factor, you can rest assured that you're making a sustainable choice. We offset 100% of the delivery emissions, source 100% renewable electricity for our production sites and offices, and feature sustainably sourced seafood in the meals. This September, get Factor and enjoy eating well without the hassle. Simply choose your meals and enjoy fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered to your door, ready in just 2 minutes. No prep, no mess. Head to factormeals.com/POA50 and use code POA50 to get 50% off. That's code POA50 at factormeals.com/POA50. 50% off. That's like half. Football season is back, and you know what that means. Touchdown dances, Sunday tailgates, and epic fantasy showdowns. But, fellas, let's not forget the real MVP of the season. Introducing the all-new Beard Hedger Pro Kit by Manscaped, your ultimate luxury beard grooming experience. This kit is your secret weapon for staying sharp on and off the field. Don't fumble this opportunity. Head to manscaped.com and elevate your grooming game with the Beard Hedger Pro Kit. Join the 9 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped, myself included. You heard that right. 9 million men. Lilith Fair's worst dream, or 109 MetLife Stadium. So go to manscaped.com and get 20% off plus free shipping with the code POA. Guys, if I could be a little vulnerable here, when I don't have a well-groomed face, I look stupid. I look absolutely horrible. I've tried going completely shaven. I look like a toddler. I look like a baby going through a divorce. We've made all the jokes. I really need a good groom in order to fake me having a jawline and look like I'm some type of an adult. And I can do that with the Beard Hedger. All right. It makes me look good. And that is a tall order, but Manscaped does it. Also, y'all know that your balls smell like balls even 5 minutes after you get out of the shower. So if you use the toner and the ball deodorizer, you are going to be in tip top shape. All right. If they can do wonders for me, imagine what they can do for you, a human with actual self-respect. Trey, tell them more about Manscaped.
The Beard Hedger Pro Kit is a grooming powerhouse built for precision and style, just like your favorite quarterback. This kit tackles beard touch-ups effortlessly, ensuring you're always prepped for the next play. Plus, it has a compact design for easy portability. The cordless trimmer has a rotary wheel that gives you 20 different hair-cutting lengths, all with one guard, so no more messy drawers full of extra stuff. That's right, face grooming doesn't need to be hard. Get 20 different beard lengths with just one guard. Plus, it's waterproof, so you can shave in the shower to avoid getting all that hair in the sink. The titanium-coated T-blade is tough on hair but smooth on your face, leading to single-stroke efficiency, which brings satisfaction one stroke at a time. Remember, the Beard Hedger Pro Kit is your go-to teammate for maintaining a sharp and polished beard, whether you're on the field, in the office, or anywhere in between. Grab yours today and experience the game-changing difference. After grooming your facial turf, show it some love with Manscaped's liquid formulations. The beard shampoo, beard conditioner, beard oil, and beard balm are the key to feeling victorious and taking your beard game to the next level this year. Get 20% off with free shipping with the code POA at manscaped.com. That's right, y'all. You get 20% off and free shipping with the code POA at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping when you go to manscaped.com and use the code POA. Your grass is not artificial. Keep it shaved with Manscaped.
No more nicks and cuts on your dicks and butts.
Fancy.
No siree.
God damn. Those jokes are my favorite jokes ever. Yeah, I know we've talked about them a million times, but like the angels who came up with these and wanted absolutely no, you know, credit. They didn't care. Yeah. None. They're just, so dude, did you watch The Imitation Game?
I did. I watched it once, like, you know, a few years ago at this point.
Like when it came out?
Yeah. Wasn't he like sort of a pretty huge asshole in that movie, or like super like autistic-y or something? And
yeah.
And Alan in real Turing life, wasn't he's not really that, like, no. like that. Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
No, dude.
Yeah, I remember
no, dude. So, like,
reading that. I thought it was a pretty good movie, though, but that is, it's always weird when they do shit like that. It's
I know.
Like, why?
Yeah.
I mean, just for drama purposes, I guess, but.
Yeah, but like, it's so while we're on that subject, here's my thoughts on that is like, yes, I do think that made it a better movie for sure. Like having this guy, it's like, man, he's kind of the protagonist, but he's kind of an asshole and yada, yada, yada. Now, of course, when I'm watching, I'm going, well, that's just how this guy was. So like, you know, whatever. But like, think about it and how big of a dick move it is. This movie is already about a dude who did all these incredible things, but then never really got to get his flowers because he was into, as they call it, he was a poofta who was into boogery. Right. So you've already got a guy who we should absolutely feel horrible for because him being gay negated all these. He won the fucking war. And they go, let's make him an asshole.
You on top of that. I mean? No, I agree. Let's make him an asshole. But also, like, doesn't it go beyond just, I'm pulling all this out of, you know, my butt and trying to my butt's recollection. But like, it goes just beyond. He never got his flowers. Right. Didn't he get like.
Chemically
horribly
castrated.
Mistreated. Yeah. Chemically. Yeah. He really got put through it all.
Yeah,
for
dude.
Just lacking dicks and butts in an era when that wasn't cool. And when, like you said, he should have been like a war hero and a national icon and father of computing and all this different stuff, which like people
which
know
now,
but like he, but like that didn't, you know, I don't hit for. I mean, he's dead now. Like,
yeah,
you know,
right.
It's like
long
a bit
dead.
Too late for all that shit.
Well, and you know what's funny too about the movie is that, like, so going into it, here's what I knew. I was like, this is about Alan Turing, and I knew that like computers were called Turing machines, but I didn't know much about this dude. I didn't know about the Nazi code or whatever, which I want to talk about. So it was pitched to me as like, he's a brilliant mathematician, and he was gay at a time that you couldn't be gay. And I was like, okay. Benedict will fucking crush that. He seems gay. And so I'm watching the movie and I'm like waiting for the gay shit. And there wasn't no gay shit until the end. And I totally forgot. Like it wasn't even that much part of the movie at all till the very end when like they suspect him of being gay or whatever. And he ends up getting arrested. Here's what happens. He ends up getting arrested for it or whatever. And he's facing 2 years in jail where he's like, I will get murdered in there, or they could chemically castrate him, which they did, which you had to take a bunch of pills, and it would, like, you know, make your shit not work, make you impotent, make you not have the desire to be gay anymore, which, by the way, even if you were a straight, red-blooded male, like, this would still fuck you. It's not going to make you not gay. It's just going to kill you and make your dick fall off or whatever. And so then he ends up fucking killing himself. Now, the wild thing is I was sitting there, when I'm watching all this at first going like, okay, I know this is a different time. I know this is a different time and gay shit wasn't cool. However, this guy like was a part of a team who ended the war 2 years earlier than it could have ended and saved an approximate 22 million lives. You're telling me that like someone couldn't have been like, okay, listen, not this guy, though. Just don't do that, right? Well, the reason is because they weren't allowed to talk about none of that shit. Like, he wasn't allowed. Like, they didn't release those files until 50 years after the war, so he couldn't, and nobody could go up and go, you don't understand, this is the guy that broke the Nazi code thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, they couldn't pull those strings because there was NDAs and shit.
Yeah, that's fucked up. I bet also that there were people at the time who like probably wouldn't have cared because it's like, yeah, no, I know,
for sure.
Still a poof though. Am I wrong?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like,
but I'm saying like,
thanks for all the Hitler stuff, but you know, lay right. off the cocks, you know, or whatever. Like
the fannies.
Yeah. The, yeah. Like it still wouldn't have hit for them. You know what I mean? Because that's just how they were. Which that don't hit.
No, that don't hit. And but there were several things in the movie too that like I watched the movie first. I always do that because I'm lazy. I'm like, hey, I might get enough just out of the movie that I don't have to do nothing else. And then I started researching. I was like, fucking, they didn't like none of this was right. Like they the whole thing was about him breaking the Nazi code, which was the Enigma machine. Did you know anything about that before?
I just knew that he had done that. I didn't know how or the details or whatever, but yeah, I knew that he had done, I knew who he was and that that was a thing that he had done and that he was gay and all the mystery, all that shit we already talked about.
Well, when I heard of like code breakers, I was thinking like, I don't know, in my brain, I was thinking like them Navajo wind talkers from World War II or whatever the fuck, or like, you know, I was like, oh yeah, messages that they've written in different, I didn't know about this fucking like algorithm machine that they'd created, which was like, I didn't know you could fucking do that back then, which
no,
is
me
all,
neither.
And I looked up how this shit works. So like the, it was called the Enigma. That was the Nazi machine. And the one that Turing in the movie creates to like replicate that. Remember in the movie, he kept calling it Christopher because yeah. That was like his childhood friend that died. Uh-huh. He didn't do that even a little bit. It was just called the fucking machine or something, which like, all right, whatever. But like, anyways, so the way it worked was like, it was a typewriter type situation that these Nazis created. And every time you hit a key, there was this machine that had this like big Rolodex on it, which is like the cipher. And it would like, you would click like an A and then it would just like put some other shit on it. Right. And then it would do this whole thing and then it would decode it. And because of like the first and the last, once they read it, they could like go, okay, well this means this and this means whatever the fuck. But like, it's all like, it's all going off of ones and zeros and shit. Like there's a little teeny tiny, like microscopic camera type situation that's like gliding all over this and recognizing the one and the zero and then like doubling it on this side and shit. And there was fucking, I think it was 15 quintillion different ways that it could have come out. Like how, bro, I can't even comprehend how we do that shit now. And we have mega computers, but like right. These motherfuckers was the mega computers. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it do be wild. You know, that's why he's the father of modern computing or whatever. You know what I mean? It was some wild shit.
Did you and your friends write in code when you were kids? Did y'all have?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, we.
Do you remember? So you would obviously
I hadn't
do
about
like
that in years.
Yeah, me either. Until I saw this.
We had
movie
code and, words.
Yeah.
We had a. We called it. I think it was racist sounding, but it was like it was the Wing Wong dialect or something. Is what we called Wing Wong. I think that's right. I can't remember any of them, but we have, it was mostly just like code words for like cuss words or shit you weren't supposed to say at school or whatever. Like, you know, right. Titties and butts, blowjobs, whatever, stuff like that. I can't remember what any of the words were though. Like I said, I haven't thought about that in years. Completely forgot about that until you asked the question, but yeah. But you mean like writing in code? Cause my nerdy ass did a little bit of that too.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I wrote in code. Yeah. I'm fucking.
Well, like,
yeah, sure did. Didn't
what was your
for
code?
Most of the recipients or whatever. I had one where I just like a simple cryptogram thing where you'd replace letters with other letters, or like I had one where I wrote it in like a mirror. I like wrote it in a mirror, so it was like, you know, backward. Wrote it in a mirror and upside down or whatever, so it didn't look right unless you held it in the right. You know, unless you also had a mirror. I mean, dude, I'm talking third, fourth grade type shit.
You know? A lot of people in Salina had mirrors. It was a very sad time. The factory had just left.
Well, everybody was just like, the fuck is this stupid shit? Just write a note, you queer, you know, like.
Well, we did.
It was like, that type of thing.
One of our earliest forms of code words was like, we would write notes. Like we found out very early, like, you know, if you write a note, the teacher could come grab that and you're fucked. So like, we would do it by numbers, like, you know, there's 26 letters in the alphabet, so each number correlated, like 2 was B, You know what I'm saying? And so we would write like full dirty ass fucking.
It's also just, it's hilarious to think. I mean, again, I told you how simple mine were too, but it's hilarious to think that like a teacher with 30 years of experience, she'll never crack this.
Yeah, right.
You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
Like one is A, two is B. You following? And it was like, yeah, it's brilliant. Dude, how do you come up with this shit? You know what I mean?
Granted, like, granted.
Like the most simple one-for-one, like, replacement
for sure,
code.
For sure, which we still had to always have the cipher with us. Yeah. Like, hey, one. But, like, if a teacher did pull up just a note full of numbers, it's possible they would just throw it away instead of going to sit at their desk and fucking, because the cipher wasn't ever on the paper. But we had this one, too, and I wanted to ask you about it because I'm trying to remember the fucking mechanics of it, and I was hoping that it was one of those things where, like, you know, you've ever thought about how wild it is that we all thought Marilyn Manson sucked his own dick, but there was no internet for us?
I swear to God, I cannot believe you're bringing this up because I have been meaning, but I keep forgetting to, like,
well,
write
let's
it down.
Do it.
But I've been meaning to bring this up either on here or on Well Read for, like, weeks now. But I just never remember, or you guys abandoned me to do the show by myself with our buddy Earl, or, you know, whatever happens. You had to get a 4-hour dentist appointment, and Drew's having a child, but still, y'all don't hit. Anyway, yeah, it's absolutely insane that somehow, you know, it's like a meme, but before the internet or whatever, like it got every single middle school kid around this country in the mid-90s. Heard the rumor that Marilyn Manson got a rib removed so he could suck his own dick.
Yeah.
And so wild.
And I want to let all our older fans who look at us, like, I know they see us as just like, we're young. We did not have the internet when I heard this shit. Like, we did not fucking have the internet. So, like,
no.
But how?
Or cell phones or anything.
None of that shit. We just had word of mouth. And it was like, the only logical explanation is like, well, there was the school that it first originated at, and then a kid left that school and went to another school, and he told him. But then that would have to keep happening so many goddamn times. And it crossed states. Like, you can, I guarantee
you can. I think
it crossed
oceans, bro.
Yes,
I'm not sure, but I think it did. Like, I think it got, like, you know, at least to parts of Europe or something. I don't know.
Do you remember the other Marilyn Manson-based one? The other Marilyn Manson-based one was that Paul from the Wonder Years, the fucking, you know, Savage's friend, Paul from the Wonder Years grew up to be Marilyn Manson. Mm-hmm. And that one, and we all believed that for years. And again, long before the internet, there's just all these fucking things. So my point is that I was like hoping that this, just like the Superman symbol, the S symbol,
the
or whatever.
S, yeah.
I was hoping that maybe this code was one of those things, because we did it, and I knew someone at another school that did it, and I can't remember exactly how it went, but you drew like a almost a tic-tac-toe board, right? You drew almost a tic-tac-toe board, and then you had like two or three letters up in the one, and then two or three letters here, and all the way down in the box. And so that symbol, like whatever those letters were, by the way, so many people made these into swastikas. Like, so many. There were so many swastikas in my fifth grade class, like, all the time. And by the way, I would like to point out that, like, we knew that the Nazis didn't hit. It was just like, oh, this is a symbol we're not supposed
fifth
to draw.
Fifth grade edgelord.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Fucking middle schoolers.
A lot different than the swastikas that some people be drawing out, because it very much seems like the swastikas hit for them, but they didn't hit for us.
Yep.
I know you lost me. Anyways, did y'all have that type of coding where it was like the tic-tac-toe board and you draw
that
the
sort of
the
ringing
symbols?
A bell? I do think that existed in Salina, but I can't. I'm fuzzy on that, like how it actually worked, and like I don't have a clear memory of it. But I do think it got around. Yeah, it became a thing. I also think that we probably should try to wrap this one up pretty soon because we're just having all these technical issues. I think it's just, you know. We've salvaged it enough, but it's just, I don't think it's going to get any better. Whether it's my internet or your internet or both, or just, it's just not a good day for it. I don't know, but shit ain't hitting.
Well, I want to break down the enigma, but I'll do it next week because this is complicated, but I would like to say this in closing. There was only one woman in the movie, which was, and it was, from Pirates of the Caribbean. Yep. You know who I'm talking about. There were more women that worked at Bletchley Park than there were men. There were 8,000 women who worked there doing coding, doing all this shit, and they only give representation for one in the movie, which I thought, in hindsight, I think is pretty fucked up.
It's also surprising to me. That movie's not crazy. That's not that old. Like, they were, I thought Hollywood was already all about that shit, representation train. So to take a real life story with that many real people involved and just be like, throw one floozy at them and call it a day is an odd choice. Don't you know?
No, I know, man. Like, that's what I told Amber. I was like, why wouldn't Hollywood have gone, hey, this is a really good B plot of the movie. Like, how many fucking women are here? Like, why wouldn't they have done that? Okay. Airmail. Subject line, hot, sexy, and full of gas. Holy shit, those letters from James Joyce definitely hit. I was driving to work, and not embarrassed to say, I got a little tingly in my lady parts. Skew! Then I laughed so hard, I cried at all the fart descriptions, which was better for heading into the office. No way anyone was upset at Corey reading those letters, and maybe he could do it again sometime for all the farting, dirty little fuckbirds out there. Love you guys. Love you guys. Glad I found your podcast a few weeks ago, and can't wait to get to the new book. Thank you for that. That is wonderful. Let's see. Subject line, all caps, y'all's fucking book helped my COVID boredom. What's up, motherfuckers? Your Floridian truck driver friend here. My fiance and I caught the COVIDs, and I've been sick as hell and bored for the last week. Apparently, Natty Ice isn't a cure-all. I was out on my carport fucking with my Mustang drinking Natty Ice because no fucking strain of COVID will stop me from white trashing it up, by God, while taking a moment from working on the car to cough to death like y'all talk about so much. I saw the Amazon in the mud. I saw the Amazon truck pull up, and much to my surprise, he was delivering y'all's book. I had totally forgot I pre-ordered. Y'all have become such a part of my life through the podcast, I couldn't help but putting up all my tools, closing up shop for the day to go in and get a start on reading y'all's book. I attached a picture of my shitbox Mustang along with the pic of y'all's book. Thanks, guys. Now excuse me while I go try to convince my fiance to let me get some fever ass. If you don't hear from me again, that means I cough myself to death while trying to pork with COVID. Let's end right there. We'll do some extra.
That dude, he's living his best life down there, which I'm glad to hear, since I know it had to be tough for him when the sausage castle closed down or whatever. In Florida, the Busey's, God damn it, Jake Busey's cousin, whatever his name was, Busey Boys Wiener House, you know, that thing. That guy, that truck driver feller, he's the one that told us about that.
That's great. Believe.
So
I'm going to read this whole thing next week because I know we're cutting out, but because we were talking about it earlier, one of these from a subject line, made an ass of myself in front of Trey. It's the drunk lady from your show.
Really? The squirrel?
Yeah.
What?
I feel super embarrassed. Was really looking forward to getting to see Trey last week, and unfortunately was pretty drunk when I got to meet him. In my defense, I can drink some beers all day on the river, but them comedy club mixed drink kicked me square in the lady balls. I know I'm not supposed to drink anything real strong because of some medications I take don't mix so well, like Adderall. But I thought, hey, just a couple won't hurt. Well, that wasn't true. I woke up Monday morning on my couch with Talladega Nights playing, so at least I know the night ended well. Asked my husband, oh, God, did I make an ass of myself? And his response was, I wasn't judging you. So, you know, enough said.
He was being a real trooper. He was.
Yeah.
He kept sort of giving me these like knowing looks where like, what are you going to do about it? You know, but he was, you know, being cool. And like I already said, I was fairly drunk too by that point and it was fine. I wasn't mad at her or nothing.
Yeah, no, of course. It sucks because y'all have meant so much to me the past several years. I discovered y'all's well-read podcast during COVID and it was refreshing to hear other Southerners, you know, sound like me. Yada yada. Final thing, I wanted to hit y'all up about a past episode on Shakespeare. I know Corey loves some conspiracies, and this is a pretty interesting one. There is a theory that Shakespeare didn't actually write any of the plays, and she's added a few links. Oh, if y'all read this on air, please leave my name out. I did it preemptively.
Okay, well, that kind of so that means actually I sort of hit by forgetting
you did.
Her name.
You did you know? Hit. Yeah, you did hit
because she didn't want us to share it anyway. So that makes me feel better, dude. How many different times has something randomly come up in airmail that's like directly related to something we talked about on that episode without knowing that was going to happen. Like, it's that's at least like the fourth or fifth time or something that's happened. That's pretty wild.
That is wild. And remember, you can send us airmail at puttingonairs@gmail.com. We would like to apologize for the technical difficulties. It should look fine on your end, but it did cut it brief for us. Remember to pick up our book, Round Here and Over Yonder. It is available now wherever you get your books. We, of course, narrated the audio book. It's wonderful. It's getting great reviews. And go to Trey Crowder to TreyCrowder.com to see where Trey's going to be. Where are you going to be, Trey?
Lexington tonight, and then I got Tacoma and Spokane coming up, and then Boston, Charleston, Raleigh, hitting places. Oh, Durham, Durham specifically. But yeah, a bunch of fun places. Come see me. Right, San Francisco.
I'm going to be at the Lookout Comedy Festival in Chattanooga, Tennessee on October 19th there at the Comedy Catch. You can go to Lookout. I think it's lookoutcomedyfestival.com to grab those tickets. Come see me. Also, parttimefunnyman.com. That's my bonus stuff. And remember, y'all, we love you. And please stay
fancy.
Fuck the
motherfuckers.
Internet.
Yep.
Here's Lydia Loveless.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Royalty and rednecks are alike. They both like cutting and picking fights. Biscuits and baked beans where they don't belong. Sit on down with Corey and Trey and learn some fancy shit today. We'll laugh a little even when they're wrong. They'll take you to a magical place where if you call someone a cut, nobody cares. They keep it debonair at putting on airs, putting on airs, putting on airs, putting on airs.
This episode is brought to you by the new book, Round Here and Over Yonder, written by authors Trey Crowder and Corey Ryan Forrester. That's your boy. The book is out now. I would like to thank everyone who did the pre-order, but for those of you who were like, you know what, I want to wait and actually go to a bookstore and pick this thing up, well, you can do that right now. Round Here and Over Yonder, a front porch travel guide written by two progressive hillbillies. Parenthetical, yes, that's a thing. We love long titles, but we love making you laugh even more. This book is chocked full of jokes. We chocked filled it too. It's got a bunch of jokes in it. It's really, really, really fun. We tried to take the stereotypes of certain regions, talk about what they are, talk about what they got right, talk about what the actual reality is. Of course, we did it with our own little region here in the South. We went everywhere else in the United States, and for the first time in our lives, we went to the UK. It's Rednecks Abroad. The book is Round Here and Over Yonder. Not to brag on us, but I will. It is hilarious. Pick it up now wherever you get books. And by the way, we narrated the audio version, if that's how you want to digest it. But there is no wrong way. Round Here and Over Yonder, wherever you get your books. Do it at an indie bookstore. I like that more. Don't tell Amazon, though. Bye.
NMLS number 65084, equal housing lender. Woo!
As an adult, don't we all miss spring break? Nothing like taking a week off from all your responsibilities. Well, here's the next best thing for adults, a spring break from house payments. SaveWithConrad.com can help you get rid of all your credit card debt just like that. We're routinely helping our listeners save $500, $600, $700, even $800 a month. And you don't need perfect credit or money out of your pocket to do this, but check this out, no house payments for 2 months at SaveWithConrad.com.